My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the Lone Star State's 1st Congressional District. He joins me now to talk about a number of different elements of the President's State of the Union speech and his reaction to them. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Always great to talk to you, Greg. Thank you.
Let's start about an issue you and I have talked about before, and that's energy with your district right there on the Gulf of Mexico. It's a huge issue for you on a daily basis. The president essentially saying that oil and natural gas production is up under his administration, despite concerns I know that you have had over the moratorium in the Gulf and the Keystone Pipeline and so forth. The president promoting natural gas through shale. What do you make of the way he articulated his policy on energy last night?
Well, I enjoyed the relation of his position on energy, but somehow his administration hasn't gotten the message from him. So if you judge him by what he said about natural gas and energy, you would probably be somewhat excited with regard to natural gas anyway. But if you know what he's been doing, he has been slow-walking the permits. He eliminated permitting for so long, and then when they start allowing it, there are so many complications that they have added to getting permits that people aren't getting them like they once did. And so he has the luxury of taking credit for the drilling permits that were issued under Bush that are just now coming to fruition and bringing oil and gas to the market. And unfortunately, the damage that his administration has been doing through Interior and others, EPA, is going to be felt in the next administration. And I say next administration because I'm hoping that a year from now that's what we have. But whether he gets another 4 years or someone else, his dereliction of duty is really going to be felt in the future, just as we're feeling the benefits of Bush's decisions now. Natural gas is an answer, and if he did a little more homework, he'd find out we have more than 100 years' worth of natural gas, even if we put all of our cars on it. We absolutely could become energy independent. Now, you could also hear some references to the fact that he hasn't given up on Solyndras, that he knows that apparently there are other Solyndras out there, some other crony capitalists that he can give money to. He's even saying now he's going to be putting the Department of Defense at the some type of unnatural energy, perhaps. But at a time when he's cutting defense so draconianly, this is no time to be wasting resources by the defense on things like Solyndra. So that was a little problematic for me there. But if he kept his word and we move toward natural gas, it would be a great thing for the country.
Congressman, another issue that you and I have talked about many times is the issue of regulation and how you believe the Environmental Protection Agency and other government agencies are going in what you would consider a radical direction and certainly threatening the environment that could create more jobs, especially for small businesses as folks have to jump through different hoops. Last night, the president said that his regulations that he's pursuing are common sense. He's open to rolling back ones that aren't, and even had the admittedly bad joke about the dairy farmers and their spilled milk. Basically, it looks like he's trying to say that I understand what the issues could be about regulation, but I'm not going too far. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, when he brought up how crazy it was for a 40-year-old rule to require that milk might be a hazardous waste spill, what he didn't bother to be honest about was the fact that even though a rule may have been in place for nearly 40 years, his administration is the first in the history of the country to interpret it where the milk spill could require a hazmat unit to come in. So that was extremely disingenuous on the president's part. It's his people, his administration, that has caused that kind of ridiculous interpretation of old rules. There is no reason for that kind of thing, and I wish he appointed people that felt the way that he said and tried to act like was an old problem instead of the new one that he actually created. As far as the regulations, he made it sound as if they're cutting regulations when quite to the contrary, they're putting out more regulations than any time in history. They're slowing down development at a time when we ought to be throwing the doors open to development. And I do have to give him credit for one very important, very truthful statement he made. He said American manufacturers are now hiring again, and he's exactly right. But what he forgot to add is that they're hiring in China and India now. And when he talks about giving incentives to companies to hire in the U.S., he fails to mention that all his incentives currently have been to those who outsource their jobs to other countries. I mean, you just look at the people that he puts on his economic advisory staff that he brings into the administration, and you see people who have sent thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs overseas, and if they've done that, then he puts them as a czar or somewhere on his advisory staff for economics. So he says one thing, but he's been doing entirely another. I wish that it were that he was doing what he related in his speech.
Another issue that a lot of folks were expecting some commentary on, and there was some to some extent, but not a lot, and that was the situation involving our debt. He talked about savings and cuts being made during last summer's debt ceiling debate. He also said that if we're serious about the debt and wanting to meet government priorities, we need to raise taxes on the wealthy. What did you make of what he said on the debt front, and what else would you have liked to have heard?
Well, that was, I thought, either a very ignorant statement to say that we've all agreed on $2 trillion in cuts, or he was being disingenuous there as well, because there were sequestrations that both sides had said, no, we're not going to let the cuts to our national security and cuts to Medicare take place. Well, of course, there were an awful lot of Democratic leaders who wanted the draconian cuts to hit our national security, our defense. And so they weren't really agreed to. They were put in place just in case there was no agreement. And for that matter, there wasn't $2 trillion in cuts agreed to. There's not supposed to be that much cuts to our national security and to Medicare. So that was just not an accurate representation. I know that it would be understandable for him to not get the fact that we didn't really want those cuts, because I think a lot of the time when instead of leading on getting this worked out, he was on the golf course. But, you know, he apparently a good golfer, so that's where his priorities are. But nonetheless, that was not something that was agreed to. And as far as the taxes, he kept saying, if you got a good idea, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to be drawing businesses in. Well, capital is a coward, as the saying goes. It flows to where it feels the safest. And where it feels the safest is where there is consistency and some kind of security in the law not constantly changing, not having crony capitalism. And so then when he starts talking about, now, if you'll do this, we'll fix the tax for you in this area. If you don't do that, we'll make it tougher on you. What we need, Greg, we just need a flat tax, cut out all the monkey business that helps his cronies at GE not to pay any tax whatsoever, helps his buddy Warren Buffett, you know, to pay such low tax. Just do a flat tax that's across the board and make it 15, make it 17, make it 12 for corporate tax. You would see the jobs flooding back to America from overseas. And I've talked with CEOs in China about, why did you move your manufacturing from the U.S. to China? I assumed the number one answer would be labor was too expensive in the U.S., too much overregulation. Well, those are problems, but the number one answer was that the corporate tax over in China is 17%, and they would do them deals where they wouldn't even pay any tax for a while, whereas in the U.S. we're 35, now the highest in the world. So you want to get jobs back, forget the little goofy gimmicks the president was trying to talk about, just get a flat level tax, cut out all the gimmicks and exemptions and whatnot for corporations, and just say it's 12 or 15, and that will take care of it.
Congressman, last question. You mentioned the corporate tax. I know that was your policy in your version of the American Jobs Act. Where does that stand?
Well, actually, the president says you send me a tax bill that'll bring jobs and I'll get it signed. Well, I helped him. You know, I even used his title since he didn't have a bill when he was beating us up for not passing the American Jobs Act. So it reminds me, Greg, of his comments about, if you have some good ideas about health care reform, my door is always open. And what some of us found when we tried to utilize what he said was an open door is that there are so many levels of security between us and that open door, you can't get there to the man with your good ideas. Same way with this. We've got a great idea. Instead of slapping a 25% tariff on Chinese goods or something like that, just remove the massive tariff we put on our own goods that nobody else puts on, and you would see our goods be competitive around the world. So it is a good idea. Some people think, well, we need to make those evil corporations pay. They pass it on. Consumers always pay the corporate tax. So you get stuck one way or the other. Why wouldn't you prefer to have new jobs, new revenue from additional economic upsurge rather than, popping consumers with additional high prices because we make our corporate tax so high?
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. A lot of fierce debate to come, I'm sure, this year. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert represents his state's 1st Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.